We'll open the hearing, and apologies for the delay here. Senate Bill 77 is not ready. We're waiting on amendments, so that will be carried over until Monday. But we will open a hearing on Senate Bill 78.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 78 was, along with 77, were companion bills that came to you out of the interim work that the Governor's Task Force on County Timber Payments and Services had done. And Senate Bill 78 creates a County Services Planning Council and describes the members of that council, directs the Governor on how to form that council and what the expected report is to come from the council. You do have in your packets a -4 amendment, and the chair has been working with the governor's office, and we have and the task force. We have Tim Nesbitt here and Mike MacArthur here as well from the counties to talk about that amendment.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Tim Nesbitt, Deputy Chief of Staff for the Governor, and the -4 amendments, first of all, fill in the blanks that existed in the original bill. And so we now have 12 members appointed, four from among the staff of the Office of Governor or other state agencies, two by the President of the Senate, two by the Speaker of the House, and designees for each of the officers in sub D on page 1, line 15, so Secretary of State or a designee, Treasurer, a designee, et cetera. And more significantly, we then have, with input from a number of you, expanded the and focused the agenda for the task force so that we're looking at both long-term and short-term fiscal resources. And in particular, we'd be looking at developing systemic long-term revenue or income solutions which was the chair's suggestion. We also call out more specifically what we mean by revenue options, since that was the very next recommendation in our report, and that is to look at revenue or income solutions including but not limited to. And here's the key language from recommendation number 2 in our report: obtaining voter approval for the enactment of local option taxes and for the establishment of service districts under Chapter 451. In our last appearance here, we talked about the magnitude of differences in local county tax rates and the unused tax capacity amounting on paper at least to more than 50% of the tax capacity under Measures 5 and 50. So this calls attention to both temporary and, in the case of service districts, permanent enhancements of tax effort within the constitutional framework we have now that are available to the county as kind of a first order of business when it comes to resources. So all those are incorporated in the -4 amendments, and we commend them to you.
Thank you. Any questions? Mike?
Vice Chair Morris, members of the committee, Mike MacArthur, Association of Counties. We're in support of the -4 amendments. Remind you that the magnitude of loss that these counties are facing in less than 2 years is much greater than what the state's facing right now, and we need to begin the planning for how we're going to be able to deliver services in those counties, the hard-hit counties, in 2011-12 biennium. And so that's why this is necessary. So it sets up the mechanism by which we can formalize that planning and working with state agencies and the governor's office to do that. So really appreciate your support of it.
Thank you. Question? Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to testify? If not, we'll close the public hearing, open a work session on Senate Bill 78. Would you like to make the motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the -4 amendments to Senate Bill 78.
Thank you. The -4 amendments to 78 have been moved. Are there any comments or discussion? Any objections? If not, they're approved. The main bill.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 78 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senate Bill 78 as amended, recommended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? Carries. Carrier. I'll carry it. Okay. Okay, and 77 we're setting aside. Open A. Are you ready to go on any other than the bills?
Mr. Chair, we
wait until the chair comes.
We have probably Senate Bill 300. It's ready for discussion. We have several amendments for that, and Madison will go over those.
Okay. Open up public hearing on Senate Bill 300.
Mr. Chair, this is a work session. You need
to work session? Okay. Close the public hearing and open up a work session on Senate Bill 300.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill, we have two Senate bills today. Senate Bill 300. Senate Bill 300 was a different bill. You remember this? This was the Tabasco task force that we've changed into a different set of amendments. And you have three amendments in your packet. Those amendments, two of them, were at the request of the Department of Revenue. And what let's start with the out of order here and say the dash three amendment grants the authority to the Department of Revenue when they are inspecting premises and going to businesses while they are looking and inspecting the tobacco tax and enforcing the tobacco tax chapter, meaning whether they're looking for the tobacco tax stamps or looking for other products or the other tobacco product, that they have the authority to go into closed doors and bathrooms and storages that they previously did not have that authority to do. Also, dash three is different than the dash one by adding the several penalties of $1,000 per day for individuals who refuse the entry for the Department of Revenue until the entry or the access is granted. That's what the dash three are different from the dash one, and therefore the dash threes are the ones that we'll be looking at. The dash two amendment is an amendment that basically allows the Department of Revenue to start funding its operations of the tobacco section out of the tobacco revenues. So it continuously appropriates the money towards that segment of the work. And in that sense, it will be getting from Ways and Means a limitation on that appropriation, a limitation of expenditure, rather than a general fund appropriation as it used to be. And therefore, that's probably why this bill, after it moves out of your committee, out of the Revenue Committee, will go to Ways and Means for that process. And finally, the dash four amendments, Mr. Chair, is an amendment that gives both the Department of Revenue and the PUC a process for collaboration in order to be able to look into and enforce the collection of the 911 taxes. Those are the amendments in front of you. I think Department of Revenue is here, and if you need any questions or knowledge about these amendments, they probably are here to be, and they could easily talk about it.
Well, thank you. Deborah, would you like to comment on these amendments?
Thank you, Chair Morse, members of the committee. Deborah Buchanan with the Department of Revenue. Just as a reminder, the origin of the amendments that are reflected in the Dash 3 was House Bill 2048, which came out of a series of meetings that the department had with Representative Schaffler and members of industry during the summer. And as a result of that, Representative Schaffler had House Bill 2048 introduced in the House Business and Labor Committee. When we looked at the bill and realized that the language in the bill didn't exactly accomplish what he was after, we suggested some amendments. Those, unfortunately, didn't fit within the relating clause of that bill. So that's why you have the proposed amendments to Senate Bill 300. And you heard at the last hearing on this bill comments from Sean Miller with the Miller Public Affairs about the amendments. So the Dash 3 authorized the department to enter premises when we have reasonable belief that cigarettes are being sold or distributed. And the purpose of the amendment is to clarify or to provide in statute our authority to examine the premises. What we have found is that if we're inspecting a retailer where product is sold, but the business owner doesn't authorize us to look in a certain area, there's no clear authority in the law for us to say, but we'd like to examine that and make sure that there isn't untaxed product there. Our concern is that by the time we contact Department of Justice, obtain a search warrant, and come back to the premises, the product may be gone if there was illegal product there. So this does clarify the authority to enter the premises and inspect them. It's similar to what is available for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to inspect premises, and that was used as the basis for this language, too. So the other amendments, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I think staff explained very well, so unless there are questions about those, thank you.
Okay. Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before I ask the question, I think I may have done this, but in case I didn't declare potential conflict, I have a client and a business partner who is probably one of your larger tobacco taxpayers, one of the largest wholesalers of cigars in the country. Well, and with that, I have a question regarding Dash 3 as it relates to the penalty referred to in penalties Section 3, but it's referred to the hampering of the inspection under Section 2, page 2, line 6. A person may not interfere with or hinder an entry or examination. But then on line 21, regarding the penalty, it says the department shall be fined by the department shall be. I'm thinking of the today's business owner tells its employees, be very skeptical when somebody wants to come in and inspect premises, you know, make sure they are who they are, et cetera, because there's lots of invasion of confidentiality, personal privacies and things like that are going on, identity theft and things. So I'm concerned about the employee that inadvertently doesn't, you know, want to hinder a legitimate but is a little bit of an obstacle in questioning and maybe appear to be hindering. I'm wondering if there's some flexibility in shall apply this penalty for those that inadvertently, I mean, they're not intentional, they're just doing their job, but their employer said, be very skeptical of people wanting to come in on the premises.
Maybe you could respond, Deborah, as to what would be the standard operating procedure in terms of demonstrating that, in fact, the person entering is, so the business knows that the person entering is in fact with the Department of Revenue and not a fraud.
Mr. Chair, that Senator Telfer, I think that's a very good point, and we will have to have some sort of identification, some way of confirming the identity. That's an excellent point. I also would say that the legislature has been very generous in granting the authority to the department to waive penalty and also to not impose penalty in the first place when it's otherwise required. So while this does say shall, we have other statutes that provide us some leeway to both waive or to not impose in the first place.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay.
Thank you, sir.
I guess, are we ready to move these amendments?
Yes. Martin? Yes.
Okay, we would entertain a motion in respect to the dash two.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 300.
We have a motion to move the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 300. Any objections? Not. Carries. Dash threes.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash three amendments to Senate Bill 300.
We have a motion to move the dash three amendments to Senate Bill 300. Any objections or discussion? Hearing none. Carries. Dash four.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash four amendments to Senate Bill 300.
We have a motion to move the dash four amendments to Senate Bill 300. Any discussion or objections? Hearing none. Carries. And the bill.
And the bill. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 300 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
We have a motion to move Senate Bill 300 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We'll have to revise that motion.
Uh-huh. Mr. Chair, let me rephrase that. I move that Senate Bill 300
as amended
to...
To the floor with a due pass recommendation
and with the subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee.
Okay. We have Senate Bill 300 as amended with a recommendation to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Any discussion? Hearing none? Motion carries. Close the hearing on Senate Bill 300.
We have Senate Bill 62.
And are we ready to work that?
We're not ready to work that. Okay. We're still working on the amendments on this.
Okay, we'll open a public hearing then on 62. This was one we're not.
Oh, she's here.
I think we just finished our work, Madam Chair.
Well, I got here just in time. My profound apologies, committee. We were involved in some negotiations, and I was unable to make it. What do we do now? Adjourn?
Well, no. I would like to give you. I would like to. Would you like to vote on the bill?
Yes, I would. Senator Morris, thank you. All we have is one.
Well, actually, we moved two.
7,300.
We moved 300.
Oh, we made another one up, too.
And
you moved 300. Paul, what's going on here?
378.
I'm going to give the gavel back to my vice chair. Senator Morris, please proceed. I am a committee member in good standing,
Senator,
right now.
You just need to reopen the work session on those two.
Okay. I'll reopen the work session on Senate Bill 78. Would you like to cast a vote?
Thank you, Senator Morris. I would. I would like to vote aye on Senate Bill 78 as amended.
Okay. Duly noted. Close the work session on 78 and open a work session on Senate Bill 300.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe that was amended as well.
That was amended.
And I would like to vote aye on Senate Bill 300 as amended.
Duly noted. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 300 and I'll give you back.
No. You're doing a great job, Senator Morris.
And we have 77 and 62 that will be carried over until Monday.
Thank you.
And with that, close the hearing.